like tonight that I ought to go to the book of Romans chapter 1, and I don't really have a written out sermon for this, but I just feel led to preach on the gospel a few minutes tonight. And it doesn't matter how many times you hear the gospel, it's always a privilege and a blessing to hear the gospel. Amen. And so that's just what's in my heart tonight. I'm just going to preach out of Psalms 129, but I feel like the Lord would have us to preach from this for a few minutes tonight, and may God help us. Amen. If you're able to stand, Romans chapter number 1, and just have these scriptures on my heart tonight, and I'll give them to you and just give you what the Lord's put on my heart. And may God speak to somebody tonight. It may be that someone here needs to be saved, that you need to be born again and trust the gospel. Romans chapter number 1, and notice verse number 13. The Bible says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I may have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Father, I do pray tonight, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray tonight, God, that you would give us the liberty that we certainly need tonight. I ask most of all that you would save some sinner that's nearest hell. I pray if there's someone here lost, that the Holy Ghost would reveal their need for Christ. And Lord, it may be tonight that we just need to be reminded of the gospel. I don't know always what you're doing and Lord, how you're moving in a service, but we pray, Lord, as we try to be obedient to you, that the will of God would be done in this service tonight, and we'll love you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want you to notice in verse number 14, Paul tells these Romans here that he tried often times, he purposed to come to them, but he was hindered. And in verse number 14, Paul declares himself as a debtor. He said, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise." And so Paul is a debtor. You say, "Preacher, why is Paul indebted to them?" He's indebted to them the gospel. Amen. And I want to say tonight, we don't owe the world an explanation. Sometimes the world we'll sometimes ask questions as to why we do this and why we do that, and they want us to explain some things. And I'm not saying that we can't explain things, but when it comes to talking to the world about the Word of God, and when it comes to talking to the world about the things of God, they're never going to understand the way we're living and the things we're doing until they get born again. Amen? Because they don't have a desire to live the way we live and do the things that we're doing. Now, that doesn't make us better than them tonight. It just means that we have a different father, and we're a part of a different family, and we're connected to a different bloodline, and we're headed to a different world. Amen. And so they cannot comprehend, as 1 John chapter 3 says, "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Amen. And there may be somebody sitting here tonight, and you may say, "Well, I just can't figure out all this thing about Christianity." I want to tell you tonight, they ain't none of us got it all figured out, but you sure won't figure it out until you meet the one who it's all about anyway. Amen. And so we don't owe the world an explanation tonight, but we do owe the world the gospel. Amen. You and I are a debtor to this world. God brought the gospel to our doorstep. Somebody preached the gospel to us. Somebody prayed over us. Somebody witnessed us. You might be here, as the missionary brother said tonight, and say, "Well, preacher, I went to church before I was born." That may be true. But my friend, your parents carried you to church, and they prayed for your soul just like everybody else, and you didn't get saved by accident. Amen. Somebody carried a burden, and we have received the gospel, and we have received salvation. And so just like the Apostle Paul, we are a debtor to sinners, and we are a debtor to this world. Amen. And so I see Paul a debtor in this text tonight, and then I see Paul devoted in this text tonight. Notice what he said in verse number 15. He said, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." So in other words, Paul didn't just say, "I'm a debtor to sinners," but Paul said, "I'm devoted. I'm ready to
ago, I'm ready to preach the gospel. You know, that's a good question for we that are saved tonight. Are we ready to give somebody the gospel? Are we ready to pass out a tract? Are we ready to preach the gospel? Are we ready to tell somebody? Have we prepared our heart? Have we prepared our mind? Do we have scriptures that we've memorized? Do we know the Romans Road? Do we know the John's Road? Can we testify and give a testimony of what Jesus has done in our own life? Are we ready to preach the gospel? Amen. You see, our purpose in living in this world, it is the gospel tonight, amen? And no doubt God just put this service together the way that it is, and it may be to encourage our hearts to witness to more, and it may be to sow the seed of the gospel in somebody's heart. But we see tonight Paul a debtor, and we see Paul tonight that he is devoted, amen? And then we see tonight that Paul, he is determined. Look what he said. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Amen. In other words, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of what brought me out of darkness and brought me into the light. I'm not ashamed of what helped me come out of the graveyard and come into life." My friend, it's good to be saved. Amen. It's good to be born again. It's good to know Jesus in the free pardon of sin. It's good to be able to lay your head down at night and know that if you never wake up again this side of eternity, that my friend, you know that heaven is your home, and that you don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. I'm telling you tonight, I'm not ashamed of being saved. I'm not ashamed of being washed in the blood. I'm not ashamed of being sealed by the Spirit of God. I'm not ashamed of being a Christian tonight. Amen. It's good to be saved, isn't it? And the world scoffs us, and the world mocks us, and the world makes fun of Christianity. But like the Apostle Paul, you know what it does for us tonight that are saying? It just makes us determined. Amen. And I see here that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. I want to ask you that question tonight. A Christian, number one, are you ready to preach the gospel? And then number two, are you not ashamed of the gospel tonight? Young people, never bow your head because you're Christian. I don't care what the world says about us tonight. Listen, they can call us fools, but we're fools for Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, when I look at the way they live and I look at the way we live, I know we're no better than the world outside the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you, friend, I've been on both sides of the tracks. Like the dear missionary brother, I've never drank alcohol, never smoked dope, never done any of those wicked things, never been to a party or anything like that. But I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And I can see, I saw firsthand what sin does, how it ruins marriages and how it ruins lives and how it wrecks young people's lives. I saw the loneliness of sin and the darkness of sin, and how that sin will make a fool out of you when you get drunk, how that sin will rob you of all your money, it'll rob you of all of your time, it'll rob you of all the pleasant things of life. I've seen how sin can put a man behind bars. I've seen how sin can pervert his life and separate him from his own children forever until he leaves this world. I'm talking about, I've seen it in my family. Oh, but by the grace of God, somebody came to our doorstep and somebody told us about Jesus Christ, and somebody witnessed us tonight. And friend, I burn every bridge. There's nothing to go back to tonight, and I don't want to go back tonight. This world holds nothing for me. They can have their parties, they can have their dope, they can have their liquor, they can have their good time and their pleasures. I tell you what I'd rather have tonight. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than have riches untold. I'd rather lay my head down at night with a clean conscience and a clear conscience and get up the next morning and still know who I am and where I was and what I did the night before. My friend, thank God for the gospel tonight. Amen. And I praise God for that. I don't want to glorify sin in any way tonight, but I want to tell you young people this. The best life you'll ever know is a life living for Jesus Christ. And I'll tell anybody here tonight, you say, "Well, I'm not a young person. I wasted my youth." And maybe that is true. I tell you, you could come and get saved and get a clean slate tonight if you'd come to this old-fashioned altar and bow your head and bend your knee and call upon Jesus Christ. Ask him to be your Lord and your Savior and trust what he did on the cross to save you from your sinfulness tonight, then I promise you, you can take God at His word and you can walk out this building tonight. I don't care if you're 60 years old. You can walk out with a clean slate tonight. Amen. You don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. You say, why? Because the Bible says in verse 16, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And you might be here tonight and say, Brother Gravely, I want to be saved. But I'm so wicked and I'm so ungodly. How in the world could somebody like me be assured that God would save me? Because of what the Bible says, it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, when you get saved, there's no lightning bolt experience. Now, I understand when people get saved, God can make a radical change in their, maybe because of the life maybe they did live such a wicked life and they quit doing them old things. But I'm going to tell you something. For every young person that gets saved in this building, the same radical change that happens to a drunkard happens to you. Amen. Because it's a change on the inside. Amen. It's not about the things you quit doing or the things you were doing or not doing. I'm talking about, listen, it's God. It's the Holy Spirit moving inside your heart. And as the missionary talked about a while ago, giving you that peace that passeth understanding tonight. I'm telling you, listen, it's faith in the Word of God. Salvation is not some experience. Listen, we're not charismatic tonight. We don't look and seek after some experience. Now, we can have experiences with God. Don't misunderstand me. But our faith tonight is in not what happens and not in an experience in and of itself, but our faith is in what God said in this book. Amen. Faith does not come by experience. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. You see, if we was to go around this room tonight and we was to say for every person starting over here, tell us your experience of salvation. This brother would tell his and so forth and so on. We would go around and every experience would be different. I think the one chapter in the Bible that proves this more than any chapter in the Word of God is Acts chapter 16. Because it begins with Timothy, who was born into a family of faith and lived under the shadow of the cross. Then there is Lydia, who came to faith by learning and by teaching and by understanding, who did not grow up the way that Timothy did, but she sought and she heard and she understood. And then there's the Philippian jailer who had an earth-shaking and earth-shattering experience that neither one of those had. They were all three different experiences in and of themselves. But I'll tell you what all three of them had in common. They all three put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they took the Word of God at face value, and they believed the finished work of Christ on the cross. Amen. And friend, that's what salvation is. It's believing the Bible. Amen. I don't care if you're 10 years old or you're 90 years old, if you'll come and trust the Word of God to save your soul, if you'll take God at His word and put faith in the Word of God, He will save you. Amen. Amen. Jesus has already done everything that needs to be done. Look at verse number 16. For it is the power of God unto salvation, but notice the rest of this verse. To everyone that believeth. You see, the reason that man tonight that is still living out in sin, he may have heard the gospel. He might have even come to the altar and cried some tears. The reason there was no change was because he didn't believe. Amen? I'm going to tell you tonight, you say, well, I want to be saved. If you'll believe the gospel, you can be saved. Amen? Just believe the gospel. You see, you grow up under the gospel all your life, but there has to come a day, like the preacher said, you believe the gospel for yourself. Not because the parents taught, your parents taught it to you. Not because the preacher preached it to you. But you for yourself take the gospel and say, you know, I believe in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe I'm a sinner and I believe that I cannot save myself. And I believe the only way I'm going to get saved is to trust Christ as my Savior. And I'll tell you, if you'll put faith in Jesus Christ tonight and if you'll come and you'll trust Him tonight, that will change. Change your life. The difference between intellectual faith and heartfelt faith tonight is simply this. It's a commitment to believe. You say, what do you mean? I used this illustration a few weeks ago, I think, in Sunday school. You know, for years I wouldn't fly on an airplane because I had common sense. Amen. And I came back one day from a trip that was about a 12-hour drive, and it took me about 3 days to get over it. And I remember one morning sitting on the side of the bed, and the thought crossed my mind. I thought, you know, I'm killing myself. Brother Laddie, slowly but surely, I'm dying. And I thought, I can either die a slow death like this, or I can just take my chances and die hitting the ground at 500 miles an hour. You know, you're unconscious anyway, so what does it matter how fast you're going? Because I thought, I'm just going to start flying. But before I flew, if you walked up to me, Brother Terry, and you said, do you believe in airplanes? I said, yes. Do you believe airplanes can fly? I believe airplanes can fly. Do you believe that an airplane can take you from Chattanooga to wherever? I believe every bit of that. And I did believe it with my mind. But I hadn't committed to it. I didn't believe it with my heart. So what do you mean, Brother Gravel? You said you answered all the right questions. Yeah, but I didn't believe it enough to get on it. You believe that airplane will take you all the way to, you believe it'll take you all the way to Wisconsin? Oh, I believe that, but I don't believe it enough to get on it and go there. That's intellectual belief. But when you get on that plane to go to Greece, your faith is committed. You're committed to that pilot. You're committed to that plane. You're saying, I believe with everything I've got because I've stepped on board that this plane is going to take me to Greece. You know, you could go around all day and say, I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe I'm a sinner. But if you never commit, it's just intellectual. But I don't care if you're 7 years old and you've never been out in the world. If you believe that enough to step out of that seat and come to this altar, and you believe it enough to bow your head and say, God, I'm a sinner, and I don't want to go to hell, and I want you to say, if you believe it enough to commit to it, that's heart. You say, what if I don't remember everything I said 10 years from now? You probably won't, but He will. Amen. And that's what Paul meant when he said, this is a faithful saying, or maybe I got the wrong verse there. I'll get it in a second. But when Paul made this statement, he said, for I know whom, thank you, Lord. For I know whom I have believed in. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I'm going to tell you the peace and joy and salvation is in knowing that, hey, I'm not keeping myself. Amen. And I came to Him, but I'll tell you what, the keeping is all up to Him. Amen. I did the coming, but thank God He did the saving. Amen. And you know, you say, sinner, you're here tonight, sinner. You say, what I got to do to be saved? All you got to do is the one thing Jesus said. That's come. And if you'll come and you'll believe Jesus Christ to save your soul tonight, if you'll ask Him, He'll save you. You say, Brother Gravely, you believe it's that simple? Oh, I know it's that simple. It don't make no difference what I believe. I know it's that simple. What matters is what God says. Somebody said years ago, I believe it, or God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. But really, you can take that middle part out. Because when God says it, it doesn't really matter if we believe it or not. That's what settles it. Amen. And I wonder tonight as they come and get us a song ready. I know God doesn't do anything by accidents. And I'm not trying to be mystical or anything like that. I really think God sent this missionary brother by here tonight. And had you not come by, I would have preached Psalms 129 probably.
The more he talked about it, gave his testimony, the singing, I just kind of felt a nudge. The Lord said, won't you just preach the gospel tonight? And sinner, here's the gospel. You're a sinner, and you need a Savior. And Jesus, the only one, can save you. And he died on the cross, and he shed his blood at Calvary. And he cried, it is finished, and it's already been finished. All you have to do is come and accept him. And if you'll accept him, he's already accepted you. And if you go to hell, you'll go to hell because you chose to, not because you had to. And be nobody in hell look at God and say that he wasn't just. God did everything he could to keep man out of hell. He gave the only son he had, and he shed his blood, and he made a way. And you need to trust it tonight. I wonder, as we stand, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed.